The topic of today's shiur is when kibud avaim impacts my life choices, my nuclear family, and my sanity. So the first issue I want to discuss is, number one, whether there are any limits on what you have to do for your parents, as long as it's not a sin. Now, everyone understands that if your parent tells you to, let's say, violate Shabbos, you're not allowed to listen to your parents. But what if your parents ask you to do something, they want you to go into a certain profession or not go into a certain profession. They want you to do something that doesn't directly impact you. Well, if you look in the Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, so there the Gemara tells us what's Mora and what's Kibud. There is a mitzvah of Mora, of revering one's parents, a mitzvah of Kibud, of honoring one's parents. And the Gemara gives examples of Mora. Lo omei bimkomo, v'lo yoshe bimkomo, v'lo sosir stavar, v'lo machrio. You don't stand in your parents' place, don't sit in their place, don't contradict their words, and don't say, yeah, I think my father is correct, yeah, I think my mother is correct. That seems a little bit disrespectful. So, based on these examples, Mora essentially means do not act in a disrespectful way to your parents. Kibud is what? Machilu mashke, malbishu machase, machnisu motzi. Giving your parents to eat, to drink, clothing them, covering them, bringing them in and out of places. So what would emerge from here is that if something is not either providing a material benefit, then it's not kibud. And if it's not, if you're not acting in a disrespectful way, then it's not mora. And in fact, the Ramban writes in Yuvamos, Davom and Aleph, his commentary, he says, Ein ze ikar kavod, or kibud, ela masham or bikidushin, that the only main aspect of kibud is what's mentioned in the Gemara in Kiddushin of machilu mashkeh malbishu manilo, giving to food, giving to drink, dressing, putting on shoes, v'chol davar sheyesh lo hanabo, anything that provides an actual benefit to the parent. V'al amar lo lasos davar sheyin lo hanah shel klum, but if a parent tells a child to do something that doesn't really amount to any type of benefit, ein ze kibud shamar Torah, this is not kibud that the Torah speaks about. And the Rashba makes a similar comment. And the Rashba, so the question is there a mitzvah, is there some idea of listening to a parent when there's no material benefit? So the Marik in Simon Kuf Samech Vav tells us that a father cannot force a child not to marry someone. He says a parent cannot protest his child not to marry someone. And one of the reasons is that he cites the Rashba. He says that this is a milsa lo shach begavei kihacha. It's something that doesn't relate directly to the parent like here. Pshita den koch la'avlim chos beben, lo mishum kavu, lo mishum mora. That the father cannot protest, not based on kavu, not based on mora. To lo shach kavu, el kigod machil mashkir ma'bisho man'ilo. That it's not kibud, because kibud is providing material benefit. And Moraz, lo yoshim komolo sosu tavar, not sitting in his place, not contradicting his words. Again, you could make the argument that anytime you don't listen to your parents, then you are sosu tavar, you're contradicting his words. But it seems that the Ramban, the Rashba, the Marik understand lo sosu tavar seems to mean that you're not allowed to actually say, father or mother, I think you're wrong. But just to, if they want you to do something that doesn't directly impact them, and you don't want to do that, that's probably not a violation of Lososios Tavarov. And the Marik understands this is a milsad lo shayecha of bigava. This is something that's not related to the father at all. Therefore, the father cannot protest against his son. But it's not so clear cut because the Chazon Ish explains that there is an obligation to listen to a parent. He says that maybe there's no mitzvah of kibud and mora, but he says bedavar shechafitz be'emes kol nidon marik. There's something that a parent really wants, like in the Marik's case, of really doesn't want this boy, his son, to marry this girl. Lo shamanu she'irashai litzaaro. Is a child allowed to cause his parents pain? So again, maybe it's not providing a material benefit to the parents, but the parents are so upset by what the child wants to do, that the child, by doing this, will cause his parents pain. Is the child allowed to do that to his parents? And the Chazon Ish believes that the real reason, the Marik actually cites a few reasons why a child doesn't have to listen to his parents. He says the real reason is not based on the fact that it's not a material benefit. But he says, "V'ikar tamo shemarik she'av tzarech levato ratzon b'nei ratzon b'no," that the parent needs to nullify his will, cancel what he wants based on what his son wants. B'chiyai gav, in this case, "K'gon she'enu chayev lo liten matanos lovi b'nei she'av chobin chafatzim." A parent can't go into his child's house and say, "Well, I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that," and take whatever he wants. He can't do that. And so there is an idea that if a parent really wants something, then a child should listen to the parent, even if it's not a direct material benefit, but it's got to be reasonable. And, you know, Rav Asher Weiss says that this idea that the Chazon Ish mentions is what's called Ratzon HaTorah. It's the will of the Torah. What does that mean? Vasha Weiss explains that there are certain mitzvos that are written in the Torah. They're mitzvos. What are mitzvos? They are commandments from the Torah. The Torah tells you, do this, do that. But there are other things that may not be written in the form of a command, but they reflect Torah values. And he gives an example that the Gemara tells us that Tsar Bali Chayim, the prohibition to cause pain to animals, is a doraisa, it's a Torah prohibition. Yet there's nowhere in the Torah that says explicitly, thou shalt not cause pain to animals, but rather from different psukim of the Torah, we can glean that the Torah feels that it's wrong to cause pain to animals. And similarly, in our context, in the case of Kibud Avaim, Rav Asher Weiss explains that it's pretty clear from the Chazon Ish that it's true, the ikar kibud av ha'eim, the main aspect of kibud av ha'eim is providing material benefit to your parents and not acting in a disrespectful way. But nevertheless, he writes, it's ratzon ha'Torah, it's the will of the Torah. We can see the hashkaf of the Torah, it's the will of the Torah that the parents should be respected by their descendants. And ratzon ha'Torah sheben yasek ratzon aviv ve'imu b'chol davar. The child should do what his parents want. Again, as long as it's reasonable. Rabbi Willig wrote the following in an article. He says that the obligation of mora is only binding if the parent's request is reasonable. There's a well-known ramah about a parent objecting to a son's shidduch. It seems from that ramah that a child has no obligation to listen to his parents in regard to his own matters. However, the Chazon Ish writes that this is not so, but only if the request is reasonable. For example, if the parent objects because the prospective young lady is not blonde, this is not reasonable. But it's because she is ill or not able to bear children, this is reasonable. So, again, it's hard to know exactly the lines. In other words, if a child does something and it causes shame to the family, so how much does the child have to suffer by not engaging in a certain behavior so as not to cause pain to his parents? It's hard to know. How much does the child have to inconvenience himself? That's a factor. And how much pain it will cause to the parents? You have to balance the two. And it's not always easy. But I think many achronim understand that even though on one level it seems that the obligation for a child towards the parent is only material benefit and not acting disrespectfully, there seems to be a broader obligation to listen to reasonable requests, especially if it's not going to cause undue hardships to the child. And Rav Nissen Karelitz in Sefer Chutshani essentially says this point, says that when it's not a big imposition on the child, then he should listen to the parent. But parents should also be careful about when to make requests from children, because they may put the children in the position of not observing the mitzvos of Kibud Av Ve'im properly. So that's essentially the first issue. Second issue is, what do you do when Kibud Av Ve'im impacts my nuclear family? How does a spouse balance Kibud Av Ve'im considerations with responsibilities towards his or her spouse? So the Gemara tells us that in Kedushin Daf Lamed Beis, the Torah says, Ish imo v'aviv tiro'u. So the fact that the Torah says tiro'u, it means that both husband and wife, or both man and woman, are obligated to observe the mitzvah of Kibud Av Ve'im. So why does it say Ish imo v'aviv tiro'u? That a man should respect and honor his parents. So the Gemara says, Ish sipek biyadolasos, isha ain sipek biyadolasos, b'nei shirshus achayim aleha. Then a man, he can fill the mitzvah of kibud amora for his parents. Here it means mora, but many Rishonim understand that even though it's talking about mora, but it's really referring to taking care of a parent. It's the broader definition of taking care of the parent. So a man can always take care of a parent, but a woman cannot. Why? Because if she's married, she has to first take care of her family. So on one level, we can argue that when it comes to a wife, her nuclear family comes first before her obligation to her parents. In other words, in, at least in the olden days, certainly the husbands would go out to earn an income and the wives would stay home and take care of the house. So since the wives are taking care of the house, so they don't have time to... If there's a conflict between taking care of a parent and a spouse, so then she should take care of her spouse before taking care of her parents. Now, obviously, the best thing to do is find a balance and a compromise so that the parents are taken care of. Because sometimes parents are elderly, they're needy, and the only one who can help is the married spouse. So even if technically the nuclear family wins out over taking care of your parents, but we should try to find compromise so to be able to handle both situations. There's an interesting comment that Tosfos makes that essentially the reason why the Gemara says that only the woman, only for the wife, she has to... She doesn't have to take care of her parents, but she has to take care of her husband. And the flip side isn't true. It says because, I guess in those days, typically speaking, when a couple would get married, they'd live by the husband's house where he grew up. So therefore, the husband, he's at home. He can take care of whatever his wife needs, and he can take care of his parents. But the wife is living at her husband's house. So she can't go to the house that she grew up with her parents if there's a conflict. So that's why. And that would seem to indicate that nowadays, that one can make the argument that nowadays, both parties, in both situations, the nuclear family comes first. The husband, if his wife needs something, that comes before taking care of parents. And again, we should try to find ways to compromise, but if at the end of the day there's a conflict, then the nuclear family wins out. The Shulchan Aruch in Evan Ezer Siman Ayin Dalet tells us that both the husband and the wife, let's assume there's a reasonable concern, can say to the other that I don't want your parents to come over to the house. Again, if it's reasonable, there's a reason for it, then that you would have to respect the wishes of your spouse. But again, the goal and ideal was to try to find compromise in this particular issue. Now, what about taking care of the elderly? And if an elderly parent and kibud av aim could impact your sanity. There's a story in the Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Lamed Aleph Beis that says, Ravasi hava leha hi ima zakena. Ravasi had this elderly mother. Amr Lee, she said to him, Ba'ina tachshitim. I want jewelry. Avala, he made for jewelry. Then she said, "Bina gavra, I want a shidduch." Niayin lach. So he said, "Okay, I'll look into it." Bina gavra, the shaper kavasech. Said, "I want someone as beautiful as you." Shavka va'azel arid Yisrael. So he left and went to Eretz Yisrael. And the mefarshim understand that the reason is because his mother went crazy and he couldn't handle her. Now, based on this, the Rambam says, in Hilchos Mamrim Perek Vav Alachayuv, Misha Nitfa Dato Shalaviv Shal Imo, Mishtal Linhogi Mohem. Someone's parent goes crazy, he should try to deal with them, Kfidatam, according to their understanding. But Imiyav Shalo Lamov Nisha Nishtatu Biyose, but if they've just gone too crazy so he can't handle it, then Yelech Yanichev Yelech Lovi Yitzav Achem Lanhim Karoy Lohem. he should leave and he should command others to take care of whatever is necessary for them. So the Rambam says you're allowed to leave a parent who's you can't handle because they've gone because they're getting elderly and you can't handle them. And the Ravid, though, disagrees on this. He comments, "Ein zo ro nechana. I think this is wrong. Imu yelef yaniach lo lemi yitzav l'shamro. If he leaves, then who's going to take care of the parent?" So you have this debate between the Rambam. Rambam says, you can leave him, someone else take care of him. And the Ravid's saying, what do you mean? If he leaves, who's going to take care of him? So the Beis Yosef in Siman Reish Mem says that the Rambam, source for the Rambam's halacha, is indeed this Gemara in Kiddushin. And the Ran is bothered by the Ravid's question. The Rambam seems to have a good support. The fact that Ravasi left his mother, went to Eretz Yisrael. What's the basis for the Ravid's question? So the Taz explains that in the Gemara, there's no mention of anyone taking care of his mother, just as Ravasi left. So presumably he left with no one to take care of her. So what the Ravid's saying, listen, if no one could take care of her, okay, fine. But if you're going to have someone take care of her, then you have to do it yourself. In other words, mitzvah bo yosef b'shlucho, better you than someone else. So either no one can handle her, in which case, okay, you can't handle her, so you know what can you do? But if someone can handle her, then you yourself should be the one to handle her. So that's the Ravid's claim on the Rambam. If someone can take care of her, it should be the child. Now the Radvaz, he just assumes in that Gemara that presumably when Ravasi left, presumably he left and he had someone take care of her. That's obvious. Must be. But then he says something more. That when we say that if your parent goes crazy, then you can leave and have someone take care of your parent. So it could be because you can't handle it. But it could be something else. Ravaz points out that sometimes you have to embarrass your parents for a good end goal. You have to scream at your parents and say things that are otherwise embarrassing for a noble goal. And what the Radvaz is saying, that sometimes, this might be what the Rambam is saying, sometimes your parents goes crazy enough and you have to do things that are harsh to him. So you shouldn't be the one doing it. The child should not do it to the parents. Again, even if the goal is a good goal, but the child shouldn't be one to do it. He should have someone else do it. In fact, the Orach HaShulchan, for example, writes, in Siman Reish Mem Seif Lamed Beis, says, "The Yadua de Hamishtagim Biyoseh, those who go crazy, Bechrech La'asim Bezikim V'Chavolim, you may have to tie them up in chains and in ropes. For Benim Biyachot Elasas Ba'atzvo, child should be doing this. L'chein Mitzvah L'Acherim, L'chein Mitzvah L'Acherim, V'Hu Yilech Lo, you should have someone else do it." So in other words, you can understand the Rambam's position one of two ways. You can understand it either by saying that the child can't handle it. He's allowed to have someone else take care of it. Because not everyone can handle taking care of an elderly parent who's lost it. And or perhaps we're saying you're not allowed to stay around and take care of a parent if it requires doing things that are otherwise shameful and embarrassing. The Chut HaShani writes the following, and he sort of, Rav Nissen Karel is in Chut HaShani, he essentially says this, makes this point. He says that a parent, Avo Aim Shenechlisha Etzlam Pulas HaMoach, a parent whose their mind's not functioning correctly, the enemies mispaktim Kol Adam, they're not functioning like most people, and he says, Lifam Osi Masi Mishunim, that sometimes they do things, Shehem Lalagula, so they do things that people will mock them. Or they're dressing in an unusual way. And they don't realize that they are doing things that are a source of mockery. Near a push, it seems obvious. That that the son or daughter should not engage in behaviors that are a disgrace to the parents. Kadesh lo yispazu oidei maaseim, so they don't get disgraced by their actions. Kol litzuk aleim, the child should not be screaming at them. Olafo hasbigdeim, because she said benigal tzonam. Let's say they want to change the parents' clothing so that they are dressed appropriately, presentably. You should do that, but the child shouldn't do it if it's against the parents' will. You should have someone else do it. Now, the Emes LeYaakov of Yaakov Kamenetsky writes that if it's difficult for a child to take care of a parent, so then it's reasonable for the child to leave the parent in a mosar hamumche lazeh, to a nursing home, an organization that is expert to this, and to visit as much as it is necessary. So it seems to be this understanding, and even the Mishpatei Shalom Sefer on Kibbutz, in the Sefer on different mitzvot ben lachaveiro, on top of Kibbutz Avaim, he writes, Hine yadua, it's known, she'en kol adeil shavos. Not everyone has the same characteristics. Ve'ein kol kochos and nefesh shavos. Not everyone has the same strengths, mental, psychological strengths. Ve'ishim shibetiv yochol lispo v'lama b'tzura misuyemes. And there could be someone who naturally can handle certain things. Who nishbar tachat tzura acheres. But if he's facing another calamity, then he just can't handle it at all. Ve'ish acher shetiv l'hafach imen. Someone who can handle other situations. Everyone's different. And he goes on to say that you have to see who you are. He says, even though it's true, the Ravid will say that you yourself have to handle this person, your parent. You have to take care of it. But most of the Rishonim argue on the Ravid. Most of them follow the Rambam, the Ram, the Tur, the Beis Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch, and the Chayei Adam paskins like this, and the Aruch HaShulchan paskins like this. So again, in an ideal world, it's true the Bach and the Taz follow the Ravid and say you would have to take care of the parent. However, again, if it's difficult, everyone has to understand their strengths, their weaknesses, their grounds to, if need be, to have others take care of your parent if you simply cannot handle it. So just to summarize what we said today in the Shir, we mentioned number one is the obligation to listen to the parents beyond material benefits and not acting disrespectfully, like parents ask you to do something that's about your own life, but it's going to cause pain to them. So if it's reasonable, it's causing a lot of pain. So this might be something called Ratzon HaTorah, the will of the Torah. But again, it has to be something that's reasonable. That probably comes to the fact is how painful will it be to the parent if you don't listen to them, and also how much of an imposition it is on your own life. And then we talked about balancing the relationship with your parents versus your spouse, your nuclear family. The nuclear family does come first. But again, in an ideal world, you want to try to find ways to compromise and to have a situation where you're taking care of parents and also taking care of your nuclear family. But push comes to shove, they're stuck. Nuclear family does take precedent over parents. And finally, what about parents who they're sort of not, they're lacking certain mental capacity as they get older? So we have a debate between the Rambam and the Ravid. Rambam says you can leave the parent, have someone else take care of them, making sure they're taken care of. It's too difficult for you. Or if you have to engage in inappropriate behaviors that might appear to be disrespectful to do to your parents, but for a good cause. And the Ravid says, no, you have to take care of the parent. And it seems that most of the Shulchan Aruch and many Achronim seem to say that in a pinch, it's too difficult for you, you can rely on the Rambam and have someone else take care of the parent.